What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Now it's Vince Ferrara. Normally Mondays at high noon, we switch and slide it over to Tuesdays because we were not on the air yesterday on Memorial Day. Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter. Vinny, how was your weekend?
What's up, big timers? It was good. How about yours?
Fantastic. How's the weather been in your neck of the woods?
Big timers, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was like 90 degrees here yesterday. What about Knoxville? What was it?
It's been pretty warm. I'd say upper 80s. It's cloudy today, but you know, nothing too extreme. It rained a little bit. I went to, you would appreciate this because you guys do the Gatlinburg cabin thing every year, and I didn't go to a cabin or anything or inside the mountains, but I did go to Pigeon Forge in Gatlinburg just to get out and drive around and do something different, and sat in traffic a lot because there was a lot of people out, man. They were like stacked on top of each other. And it wasn't normal. It wasn't that far off of normal. So people are getting out, man, and there are just all kinds of people out there until it started raining, and that took away from it a little bit. But not very many masks. So, you know, just a little people watching and just to see what it was like. And I saw hundreds and hundreds of people sitting in traffic, both in Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. I maybe saw 10 people with a mask on. Doesn't mean there weren't some inside of businesses, things like that, but man, people are just anxious to get back to what the used to be normal is. I'm not a big fan of the new normal because that to me is like accepting that we're going to live like this and nobody wants that. But it was interesting to kind of see how many people were out and about yesterday, even though it wasn't perfect weather.
Yep, not surprised. I mean, when I had the conversation with the cabin rental company, they said they are back, and they said they are – the fact that the lady told me they had 100 people checking into cabins every single day. So I was like, whoa. So it has been business as usual for the last week and a half, 2 weeks for them at least. Yeah, saw the picture, talked about at the beginning of the show. A little disappointing. Good to see the Strip back open. Because it's been a ghost town for well over 2 months, but a little disappointing to see in the picture that you sent me just one person wearing a mask. Like I said, that doesn't paint the whole picture, but it's a small sample, but still, it's like, wow, the streets were crowded. You only pick out one person with a mask on.
Yeah, that it was pretty indicative of everything I saw, even beyond that. So, yeah, that's true.
So you guys just talking about Peyton Manning all day today? In his golf
honestly, I've been in and out, so I can't really give you a great read on that. I would imagine so, but because, you know, it just kind of goes along, Darren, with the excitement the Tennessee fans have right now, with as well as recruiting has been, and we'll get into that, and then, you know, Tennessee, people reacting to Tennessee and them being out there, and then you had the whole Coach Dugs thing, you know, with the video game, and Tennessee being all in on that as well, and just adding to it. So fans are feeling like, hey, everything we're doing. Then Peyton Manning shows up on the made for TV charity golf event with all the stars and the millions that are watching that, and Peyton representing UT. Tennessee fans are just feeling like, hey, we're in this groove right now, and everything is falling in line for us because everybody's talking about us, and I think that whole event felt, you know, was in line with that. I just thought that the exchanges between Brady and Manning were fun. I actually thought they'd do more of it, to be honest with you. I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought that there'd be even more trash talking. And then Brady saying, threatening to step on Smokey there, and then saying, you guys haven't been good since you were there. Well, they did kind of win the national championship right after that. But for the rest of that, after that, then, you know, his premise is right. So it was all in fun, and, it's something that Tennessee fans are latching onto for sure.
So did you get a Gator Burger from, was it Coach Doug's? I saw the video. It's amazing. It's like a 15-second video, and he's got hundreds and hundreds of thousands of views.
It's insane.
Grill? That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I did not. And I'm not buying T-shirts or anything like that. to each their own. If that's a way to kind of get you through this period, and that's what you enjoy, not hating on you, you do your thing. But I have not been that invested in it, noting that a lot of other people are. Just, you know that it's there, pretty much.
So they've got 24 kids committed. And they just keep adding to the class, and it's going to go over 25. It's just that they continue to get it done on the recruiting trail, which is going to just do nothing but fuel what the word you've already brought up, expectations. And, you know, it's all this stuff. It's getting the hype train rolling down the tracks, and now it'll be up to the coaches to, you know, then take that talent and see if it can equal W's.
Yeah, and, first the recruiting part of it you mentioned, Darren. The three more commits last week. They had another kid that linebacker they were after, Junior Colson, that announced to Michigan on Sunday. But it hadn't even been big in state. They only have a couple of commits from in the state. Now there's other in-state kids that they're after, but they've been doing this largely with kids from everywhere, and they continue to add to their skill players, tight ends, wide receivers. They keep adding to that group. The thing that's impressive is how many players they're getting commitments from that are position versatile, and that's becoming clear that Pruitt loves that kind of stuff. And one of the players that they got a commitment from last week, he can play four different positions. So I think they're really doing a great job with this. And, look, some of those kids are going to get bumps in star ratings, so the class is going to look better. And you're probably going to see movement as well. You're going to see Tennessee could go blow past that 25 number. And then you'll see guys drop off, some encouraged by Tennessee and some by those players finally being out and about and deciding, hey, I want to go on some visits. Oh, look, it's nice here too. You know, I got a teammate that's coming here. So you never know. Tom Luganbill told us last week that he thinks that there's going to be a huge spike in decommitment. So the class is far from complete, but they're blowing past that 25 number. But, yeah, to your point, the expectations are absolutely going to be there. And, you know, you had guys like Tom Fornelli from CBS. He says that Tennessee is going to beat Alabama this year. So stuff like that is not going to slow that hype train down, as you put it. And there'll be others that will pick Tennessee to win the East or beat Georgia on the road or Florida, obviously. You're going to see a lot more of that. And the more that the national people buy into what Tennessee fans are optimistically hoping for this year, it's going to turn into their predictions and it's going to turn into their expectations, which is then when it gets hard to really live up to, even if you have a pretty good or improved team. That's my fear, is that Tennessee will show progress and be a better team, but between the schedule and the realistic circumstances, some people might still end up being disappointed, which will, of course, be unfair.
Has anybody been able to talk to the players and ask them how they feel about a possible return and getting back on campus, getting back to these workouts and playing this season? Have players commented on that?
Yeah, the Athletic, I know, did a piece on polling. They didn't identify players, but anonymous players on the reservations they would have in returning, what they feel about empty stadiums versus fans in there. Would they rather play in an empty stadium versus not playing at all, and just their level of nerves, things like that. And generally, in most of the categories, the players want to play. And I think what it speaks to is kids are generally feel invincible. And when you add athletes to that, which I think you could also describe them as having a feeling of invincibility oftentimes, generalization, but many of them do. When you put young and athlete together, those kids feel like, hey, I'm good. I just want, I want to be able to play, want my family to, to be able to see me, but I'm good. And they're generally healthy, things like that. So I think the kids want to play. And look, some of the statements about the SEC returning, Darren, they kind of pointed out that in some instances with these players, they're kind of doing things on their own or just with friends, or you kind of don't always know what their circumstance is. There's a feeling that for some, they're going to be in a better, safer situation around campus. And if they're going to be able to practice, players will certainly feel like they should be able to play. It's just a matter of how you do it. But I think, yes, it doesn't surprise me that with the way young athletes are, that they are ready to get out there and practice and play. And you just hope that a lot of those kids have been doing the right thing on their own or from wherever they've been during this period.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back more with Vince Ferrara on the other side, the Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville, as we talk Vols here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Our conversation with Vince Ferrara continues here on 102.5 The Game. Darren, Donick, and Chase talking University of Tennessee and all things orange. Hey, Vince, so let me ask you this before we get back into some of the issues with you. Darren and Chase and I were kind of kicking this topic around. We spend so much time, and I'm sure you do on your show as well, about the guidelines for return to play. When are they going to be ready? What are they trying to do to keep it safe? All of these questions that come up. Meanwhile, there's another level going on at the youth level, and that is returning to play there with soccer and baseball and softball and some of the things that carry the kids through the summer, the camaraderie that goes with that, all the business of the travel leagues and stuff. And I know that there's some stuff cranking up right now. Has that come up on your show at all? And what do you notice in the eastern part of the state along those lines?
Well, nothing in terms of the decisions. There's a website that covers prep sports here in the area with one of the guys that used to be my co-host, and Jesse Smithy. It's called fivestarpreps.com, and he is basically like the prep authority in the area. Other than the allowing of some of the workouts being approved, and that then obviously being the decision of the respective counties, but in opening some of that up, and that's been the extent of it. But you see a lot of the kids doing stuff on their own. There's a number of gyms that are do a lot with local high schools and things like that. So, but in terms of people calling in and discussing it, I can't say that it has been a big topic, but it's something that people, social media, talking to Jesse about it. He joins our station. He's on a couple of shows a week, and it's just a lot of it is still up in the air in terms of East Tennessee. There's not a blanket, plan to do it. So you just kind of keep asking and keep checking to see. But with TSSAA, you don't always get the clarity. I mean, it took a while for them to decide on those spring sports, as you guys know. So it just kind of still in the wait and see standpoint right now.
Sure enough. And speaking of that kind of thing, but Monday, Memorial Day, always, of course, it's a special day for obvious reasons, but also it's been a day for college baseball fans where you see the bracket, right? And this was going to be a very promising season for Tennessee. That didn't happen. Obviously, Vanderbilt as well, and of course, a lot of teams in the SEC always feel like they can win the whole thing. But did that cross your mind yesterday?
Absolutely. You know, I some of those baseball season landmarks, will they call them Tennessee baseball games? I maybe paid more attention to it than some that were in and out. So I was aware, you know, when they were about to go into SEC play and wondering, all right, where would Tennessee be in terms of a seeding for the SEC tournament? And then, you know, as you mentioned, Monday is the day at noon Eastern, 11 Central, where they typically would announce the NCAA tournament bracket. And, you know, they had the D1 baseball did a what would have been type of bracket for fun with their staff, and they have a great staff there. They had Tennessee as a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament in Raleigh, with NC State being the host. That kind of struck me as a little bit under seeding. When you're a 3 seed, that to me is one of the last SEC teams in, and they had 11 in their projected tournament, which is obviously a big number. But Alabama and Tennessee were the 2 3-seeds. Everybody else was a 1 or a 2. They had 6 national seeds, and then the rest there. But I think Tennessee would have been better than that. I know we didn't get into conference play, and obviously it's the toughest conference, but I thought Tennessee would improve off of their 14-16 record the year before. And I kind of envisioned them as a 16-14 type of team in SEC play, which to me is at least a 2 seed, depending on your strength of schedule. Maybe they're even talking about you beyond that with as tough as the league is. But I thought Tennessee was a little underrepresented there. That made it look a little bit like, hey, what they did in pre-conference was a little bit of a fluke, and I don't agree with that. I think with the pitching and improved offense and that coaching staff, I think they would have been better than that. Interestingly, Vanderbilt was a host, but they were 9th as a national seed. That also struck me as a little bit underseeded. I think that pitching would have come together early in the later in the year, and they can always hit. And so I think that Vanderbilt was a little underseeded as a 9 as well. So it's just for fun. We'll never know. But yeah, Memorial Day was one of those reminders. Man, we're missing college baseball. So it definitely crossed my mind for sure.
Well, along the lines of what might have been, we've done a lot of interviews and had some fun looking back on other pieces of history and wondered that same question. People that are maybe a little younger, maybe didn't live here at the time, may not realize that Chris Sims, who you see on NBC Sports now as an analyst, an NFL guy, played for the Titans briefly. Of course, he was never a great NFL quarterback, but when he was coming through high school, he was one of the heaviest recruited quarterbacks in the country for sure, and he very nearly did go to Tennessee. You actually talked to Chris about that. Take us back down memory lane there.
Yeah, he is, and he admitted himself, even on one of the services, had him as the the number one player in the country as a recruit. So we asked him about what that was like, and he was very reflective and very clear about his memory of it. He said that he wishes his dad, Phil, would have been more involved. Like, he let Chris, Phil let Chris make his own decision and didn't do anything. And he said that he wishes he had that guidance, that, you know, if he would have thought it through more, he maybe wouldn't have walked into the crap, his term, that he was a part of in Texas. And he would come back to that term crap, bull crap, in terms of what he dealt with at Texas numerous times. I thought, wow, he still kind of has some hard feelings about that. And he said his dad has told him to this day, he's like, I would have been fine with you going to Tennessee. And Chris is like, well, why didn't you tell me that? So the big reason he pointed to as to why he didn't go to Tennessee, and he was committed to Tennessee and ended up at Texas, is because David Cutcliffe had just left the University of Tennessee. And he said...
And so what year would this have been? So he took the job, Cutcliffe took the job at Ole Miss at that time, correct?
That's exactly 20 years ago, something like that.
Okay.
And he said that if Cutcliffe would have stayed at Tennessee, that he's like, yeah, I think absolutely I would have gone to Tennessee had David Cutcliffe stayed. And so I thought that, wow, that's, you know, Texas fans are going to be excited to hear this. It really came down to that decision for him. And it just shows when there's all this coaching movement that kids end up making these decisions that they're attached to one coach, and then they'll move on and bounce around, and maybe it's not always the best decision to, then he didn't follow Cutcliffe, but to make a decision off of one coach rather than the totality of the experience. And then here's a guy 20 some odd years later still feels like, hey, I maybe should have gone to Tennessee. Just kind of a little bit of a cautionary tale, because he still went on to do great things and is an outstanding analyst for NBC. But just a little reminder that the decisions you make, that may end up still being something you think about for a long time. I will say one other thing on that, Willie, is that the transfer portal is much more of a factor today than it was back then. So I think now kids may feel like, if I make the wrong decision, I'll just transfer. And with that automatic, flat one-time transfer that I think is coming, not now, but in the future, it'll make it easier for kids just to make decisions that maybe aren't the most thought out, for their college choices. I just thought it was really interesting how reflective he was on that time and how clear he was that if Cutcliffe was at Tennessee, he thinks he would have gone to Tennessee.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML in Knoxville. He joins us usually on Mondays at noon, but moving because of Memorial Day. So with the discussion of players being able to return to train and all that, I know Rick Barnes, even though basketball is a while away, has discussed some of that and is also excited about his team that he has next year and the expectations.
Yeah, we had him on the afternoon show, and he was excited that, you know, they're taking the steps to let the student-athletes back and taking all the precautions that they're going to take. He said it's a necessary initial step. And he pointed out that a lot of his guys have been putting in really good work. They've all been in contact with him. But Rick Barnes told a story that they suggested, because they thought he needed a little bit more flexibility, they suggested to last year's really good freshman, Josiah Jordan James. Barnes said, I told him, hey, why don't you do some yoga? And so Josiah Jordan James has been doing that, and they said it's remarkable the difference in flexibility that now that he's been doing yoga for a while that he's shown. And they made him do like some flexibility examples through Zoom videos of what he can do now. And he said that Josiah Jordan James admitted to him that that was life-changing to do yoga. And I've done yoga sometimes before. My gym didn't offer it as much, so I haven't done it in a while. But it can definitely help you. And that's something they identified, and they've used this time to make, you know, him better in the future. He talked about Eve Pons. I thought it was interesting. He pointed out that, look, we're not rushing Pons to make a decision. He said, I don't want him to make a decision because the NBA is just trying to get back to having their season right now. So they don't know about the draft. They don't know if they're going to have any sort of combine workouts or what they're going to do. So he needs to wait that out, get figured out before he can decide. At some point they need to know before classes start. But so I that's a big decision for Tennessee, because he feels like Pons or not, they can be a really good team. And Paul Biancardi told us again that he thinks that Tennessee would be one of the better teams in the country if they have Eve Pons back. And they said they are really excited about what they got coming back, in addition to those five stars that joined that group. So, and as far as the players coming back, Chase, he said that it's something that the university has been prepared for, and they're doing all the steps, and they're going to do it right. And the football player is going to get back first, and we'll see, you know, when everybody else is able to get in after that. But he was all for it, and I think a lot of coaches are ready for it as long as they're doing it right.
We've had the conversation with you, when you've been on, about Rick Barnes and expectations and has he lived up to them and all of that. And mm-hmm. And I've thought about this recently we knew they weren't making the tournament. I mean, it was pretty apparent that they weren't going to make it. But with the cancellation of the tournament, did that not necessarily make any of that those talks go away, but did it quiet it down a little bit that now people are forgetting about last season and a little more focused on this season and maybe some of the excitement?
I think so. I think that's a good point, Chase, is that, part of it was everything we went into with the pandemic, but it allowed them to take a back seat. And then when you start talking hoops again, you kind of skip that period of disappointment. You didn't have to watch the NCAA tournament without Tennessee and wonder, hey, why weren't we good enough during the regular season? How did we get in this hole with this roster? And people just start thinking about and brewing all that. You kind of skip that period and then immediately get back into preparing for next year. And so, yes, I do think that was a little bit of a break. I don't think it was ever just boiling hot, but I do think that this kind of helped calm those waters in the pool a little bit. And then it's going to pick back up. But, man, the more any of us continue to talk about how good that team can be, and I think that they will legitimately be a top 10 type of team if Eve Pons is back, with the defenders and athletes they've got coming in, and how the returning players, I think, will be even better. I do think that's legit for them, but he's going to have to deliver on that. And the last couple of trips into the tournament have not gone as well as expected. And he's, with the money Rick Barnes makes, there's going to be that expectation. It's just they kind of skipped on a little bit of the disappointing down point to get to that. So, yeah, that's true.
Good stuff, Vince. As always, you have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, you guys do the same. Appreciate it.
All right, Vince Ferrara, at Vince Sports on Twitter. Give him a follow. WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville. We will come back and have more. Darren, Donick, and Chase here in hour number three on this Tuesday afternoon. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Well, under normal circumstances, I would come back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase and say, you know what, we'll just stay in East Tennessee, as we just spoke with Vince Ferrara there in Knoxville, because if under normal circumstances, when we've talked to our next guest, Steve Forbes, men's basketball coach at East Tennessee State, we could say we'll just stay east in the state. But now he's the head coach at Wake Forest, and this is our first opportunity.
Still east.
To say, yeah, but, you know, it's not east in the state. So definitely is not in Tennessee anymore. But we wanted to – it's our first chance to say hello and congratulate him on the new job. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. I was thrilled that you had AC/DC on there when I was coming on, because when 1982, when I was in high school, maybe my junior year, I had two of my football teammates – skip a game to go to the Back in Black tour. So it just brought back a very fond memory of two of my teammates skipping a game.
Skipped a game? That's tough, man. Skipping practice is one thing, but skipping a game.
Damn. And they told you?
We're talking about a game, not practice, right? A game.
Thank you, AI.
Anyway.
And they told their teammates what they were doing. They were skipping a game for a concert.
Oh,
were you guys like, what the heck, you can't do that? Or were you like, oh, okay, I get it?
Well, there's about 32 of us out for the team on varsity football, you know, so it they couldn't hide, I can promise you that. So anyway.
How'd the coach take that?
I had a little flashback from AC/DC.
Yeah, when I think of AC/DC, I have a flashback, too, when I've seen them several times. It's the cannons going off and how loud that concert was.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, Steve, that conversation we had with you. We had you on the week. Yeah. In fact, I believe it was a Wednesday, Chase, right? We were at Kroger in Franklin, and we were outdoors, and, you know, we were basically – and it was all this stuff was going on. It was in the middle of the week, and it was the day before basically sports would shut down in our country. Uh-huh. And – just, you know, you guys had come off that, and I said, man, your team is crazy good. You're going to be my upset pick in the tournament, but obviously none of that happened. This has been a little bit of a whirlwind for you, right, to go through all those emotions and then to where you are now at Wake Forest.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I remember that conversation, and I was supposed to have practice that day, and I started to get this vibe that maybe this wasn't going to happen, you know. Now, I take that back. We took Wednesday off. And that's the night I went – after I talked to you guys, I went home. And that's when the NBA, when Rudy Gobert and those –
that's
canceled
correct.
The season. And that's when I said, oh, we're in trouble now.
Yep.
You know, and then Thursday I was supposed to have practice. I had a meeting with my team. And as soon as I came out of the meeting, they canceled the tournament. And so Friday I said goodbye to my team, which would be – at that point, I didn't realize that it would be not only the last time there, but the last time ever, you know, being the coach at East Tennessee State. And, you know, and then we started recruiting. And during the pandemic, kids couldn't visit, so recruiting went really well. And, you know, recruiting was done in April. And I never had recruiting done in April at East Tennessee State. So basically I was just kind of at home and sitting up there at the house and getting ready to watch the second – go around to Michael Jordan when my phone rang on a Sunday night. John Curry called me, and who I had worked with, you know, previously at Tennessee, and asked me if I'd be interested. And from there, I was signing a contract on Thursday and press conference on Friday. So it was a fast and furious process.
I remember how much that day you glowed about this team, and obviously we'll never know what that team could have done, but how tough was it to not know, and you'll never know, and then tell them goodbye?
I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, I felt really bad about the tournament for the seniors especially, you know, because they had no shot. They're going to get no chance to do it again. But to have to say goodbye to your team on a computer, on a Zoom, it's just not right. And I hated it. And, you know, we had a lot invested in those kids. I have tremendous relationships with those kids and those players. And it wasn't right to have to tell them over a computer that I wasn't going to be their coach anymore. Now, you know, they obviously in this day and age, guys, I mean, there's not a lot of secrets, you know, when these things get towards the end, you know, they get leaked out and it's on Twitter and whatever, you know, radio, television, internet. They probably were hearing some things, but they hadn't heard from me. And so, yeah, it was awful. It was an awful way to say goodbye to your team.
I want to go back on something. Steve Forbes on the line with us now, the new head coach at Wake Forest, their men's basketball team. You brought up The Last Dance, and we had, Coach, we had Eddie Fogler on, we had Buzz Peterson, we had a bunch of, you know, guests surrounding Michael Jordan, whether it was North Carolina or his days in the NBA. So I'll just ask you, what did you make of The Last Dance? What did you think?
Well, it was the last time I saw it. I mean, it's crazy. I watched those first two episodes.
Oh, so that's it?
Since. Yeah. You know, my family watched it, but I didn't want to watch it in pieces. And I wasn't – I mean, come on, the last 3 weeks have just been crazy, you know, just wild, you know, as far as just trying to get things done. So I just didn't have time to sit and watch it on Sunday night. So I haven't seen it. Now, it was just interesting for me, the first – couple episodes, because I went to school at the same time Scottie Pippen did. He was at Central Arkansas when I was at Southern Arkansas. In fact, one of the clips in the show, he gets an alley-oop dunk in Southern Arkansas's gym. I'm actually at the game. You can't see me, but I'm there. And so I actually saw Pippen play, you know, in college. And so that part was pretty cool. But I haven't seen it. I haven't been able to watch it yet. Hopefully I will.
Steve Forbes is with us, head coach at Wake Forest. So when you saw Pippen play, could you tell something was special there, Steve?
You know what? Honestly, I'm the same age, so you know, I mean, I probably thought I was better than him knowing my
That's right. That's how we all think, right? I can
I mean, honestly, he's not that good. When he got drafted, I was like, come on, man. Really? You know? and but that was dumb, obviously, and I mean, yeah, he was unbelievably talented. It's a great story. I mean, the night of the game, he missed the bus coming to the game. He didn't get there until halftime, and they were losing. And I wasn't playing. I was playing baseball at the time. It was my senior year, and I had not played basketball my senior year. And so, of course, if I had, I would probably have been guarding him and put him in check, obviously, in my mind. But He came off the bus, so someone to give him a ride to the game. He got there at halftime. They were down. And that alley-oop that you see, he caught it. That starts the second half, and then it was just game over. You know, I mean, he's a special talent. The crazy thing about it, though, the whole time he was there, as talented and as good as UCA was, it never made the national tournament. And you would have thought they would have, but that league was really good. That was when NEI was really good. I mean, Rodman was down there too. He was in Southeast Oklahoma, and he had been over to Southern Arkansas the year before. And then his senior year, we played them on the road, so I didn't see him. But there's some really good players at that point, you know, in NEI.
Well, that's a really interesting discussion to have, Coach, because who knows how this whole thing is going to affect the direction, the different vectors of sports, right, all the way down to the youth level. But right. I do wonder, for somebody like yourself that can appreciate how good NAIA was, we talk about it a lot in the context here of how great Lipscomb was and Belmont for a time and Trevecca. Now you have two Division I programs. Trevecca is now NCAA Division II. But what system is better? I mean, is it all the Division I teams we have now, or did you like the balance between NAIA and NCAA?
I like the balance. I mean, for me, I beat Lipscomb to go to the NAIA World Series in 87 down in Florida or in Alabama. They were NAIA then. That was the team we beat to go to the World Series. And I had seven teammates drafted on my team at Southern Arkansas. You think they'd have got that chance if they hadn't played or had to play at a low, you know, a Division I school? Maybe they wouldn't have got the opportunity for. So, no, I think I'm all about, you know, NAIA Division III, junior college, Division II, Division One. I mean, everybody should have the opportunity if they're good enough to play at one of those levels. I don't see the harm in it. And there's a lot of great players, and there's a lot of great fans. And I've seen them all through the years, and there's players at those levels that can play professionally, even in football. It's the same thing, and if they're good enough, they're going to find them, and I like having the diversity of that.
Talking to Coach Steve Forbes, head coach of Wake Forest. So, Coach, as you looked at the vision for Wake Forest, you know, we can all think of Tim Duncan and such a great league for all these years where Wake Forest is in the mix. You know, when they've got their act together, they can play with anybody there, and that's, I'm sure, your goal to getting it back to that level. What are the key things to get it started in your mind?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of parallels between when I went to ETSU 5 years ago and now coming in here to Wake. It's been a storied program. There's been some really good players. There was a great run in the 90s, just like ETSU. It needs a spark. It needs some hope. It needs some life put back in it. And that's what we're here to do. And now the hard part is that, you know, maybe someday I'll be able to write a book about how to take a job during a pandemic. You know, I didn't pick the best time to change jobs, you know, because there's just, you're handcuffed on what you can do recruiting wise and with your team. I mean, I had to re-recruit my team over Zoom. You know, I couldn't work them out. I couldn't take them to lunch. I couldn't be, you know, have meetings with them. And so there's not a lot I can do other than just talk to them. And so when I get them, it'll be identity first, because identity is immediate. Culture takes time. And so, you know, I'll put our identity in place right away to, you know, play hard, play smart, play together, share the ball, gritty, grimy, tough on defense, grab the ball with two hands and do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Those are the things those are the core, you know, the identity pieces of our program. And that's where we'll start and build. And then, you know, I've got to do a lot in the community, got to do a lot on campus, got to get people excited. And I think people are excited, but once they get excited, then you got to get them to come and then come back. And how do you do that? You got to win. You got to win. And so winning is the best marketing tool. I mean, throwing T-shirts and having baby races are nice, but winning is the best marketing tool.
We're talking to Steve Forbes, the head coach at Wake Forest, of course, longtime at ETSU, and always enjoy having him on the show. But you do bring up a very good point of this is obviously a difficult time to change jobs. So how much did you weigh that? You know, because like Darren said, we talked to you, you know, a few days before all this really started and when you were at ETSU. So did you kind of have that thought of, well, this is, you know, I obviously have aspirations of working my way up. This is a good program, a good conference. But how much did you think about that?
It weighs heavily on my mind. You know, I grew up in Iowa. I grew up watching the Big Ten. I coached in the Big 12. I coached in the SEC. I really haven't spent, you know, much time in or any time in the ACC. And so it wasn't like something that I grew up thinking about, you know. But honestly, when that call comes and you really sit down and take an evaluation of it, it's like, okay, historically, the best league in the country is the ACC. I mean, it is. You have this incredible education, like Vandy does there, this tremendous value, top 30 education in the country. And then we have this incredible brand-new practice facility that Mitch Shaw helped build that's part owner of the Atlanta Hawks. So you start adding up those things, and then I'm 55. I'm not – you know, I'm not old, but I'm not getting any younger either, you know. And so after 5 years at East Tennessee State and 130 wins, like you said, coming off a 31 season, when you really look at it and you go through the process and you feel like this is a good fit for me, how do you turn that down? The only reason why in the end, maybe, is what you said, is it, you know, the timing of the pandemic. But, you know, I'm up for the challenge, and I was a little worried about moving and family and that stuff. But one of the great things about the move is it's 2.5 hours, 2:45 from Winston-Salem to Johnson City. So I come down here during the week and go home on the weekends. You know, I've never been able to do that when I've moved. And I actually sold my house in the first day I went on the market. And I've never had that happen before. So, you know, there's some good things that have happened with it. But there is no manual for it. You just got to get up every day and attack it, and then be able to adjust, because there's going to be new things coming at you every day.
You use that word challenge, and that you're up to the challenge of not only the times in which we live, but the conference in which you play, and knowing that, you know, Duke and yeah. North Carolina and those blue blood programs. But just how exciting is it, though, to be able to go up against Coach K or a Roy Williams and be able to play in the ACC?
It's surreal. I mean, it's exciting, no question. But also, I've done two or three of these Zoom head coach meetings. I got one tomorrow morning. And when old Steve Forbes goes on there the first time, and there's Coach K and Coach Williams and Coach Boeheim and Coach Hamilton, and, oh, Tony Bennett, Chris Mack, on and on and on. It's like, whoops, you know, this ain't where I was at, and this ain't the junior college league I coached in either, you know. And so it's thrilling, it's exciting, but I also know the challenge ahead. The night before I came to Lake, came down the day to sign my contract, my wife and I were up late, and we went to bed, you know, about 2 o'clock, and right before we got in bed, she said, "Now, you do realize that Coach Krzyzewski and Coach Williams are in your league now." And I was like, "Oh, gee, thanks. I'll sleep well tonight, Johnette. I really appreciate you saying that." And, but, yeah, it's what you sign up for, you know. And coming from a small town, Lone Tree, Iowa, with, you know, I graduated with 32 people and about 1,000 people in my hometown to now being a head coach in the ACC, I mean, that's what you signed up for when you started this journey.
Well, Coach, let's wrap it up with this. Here at ESPN 102.5 The Game, we've been one of the sponsors attached to that wonderful evening, Coaches versus Cancer, yeah. that you've been a part of. And just wanted to say, I don't know what the future holds now that you're at Wake Forest. If you're unable to make it happen, thanks for all the years of being one of the highlights of that night. You have, obviously, you're full of personality, and everybody loves when you come. So thanks for getting behind that and being a part of it. And who knows, maybe you'll still be able to attend. But thanks for doing it.
Well, I appreciate that, and I want to. You know, it's funny how connections happen, guys. You know, Scott Thompson is kind of the head of it, you know, the national scene. And Scott played at Iowa when I was growing up as a kid, and then he became a coach for Lute Olson, and then he became a coach for Lute at Arizona, and then became a head coach at Rice and Wichita State. So Scott and I have been friends forever, and he's the one who really first got me involved in it at a Final Four. He kind of sat down and talked to me about it. So I hope to I don't know how it works, you know, state by state, but if I can be there, I will. I always enjoyed it, had a great time there in Nashville, and I think maybe – I'm not sure we're scrimmaging Stack this year or not. I thought Stack called and told me that. So I really have a ton. I love Jerry. Good dude. And look forward to, continuing my relationship with him. And hopefully getting to be on with you guys will be hopefully we'll have something good to talk about here in a year or so about our program.
No doubt. Hey, we appreciate the visit as always. We wanted to formally congratulate you. We'll certainly be watching from afar here in Nashville, and we'll talk to you down the road. Continue to be safe.
Hey, when I come on next time, it's back in black because we're black and gold, okay? Back in
there
black.
You go.
I like
it. All right.
Yeah. Marquise, mark good that down. That's
back.
Part of our notes.
I got you, Coach. I got you.
All right. We're good.
Thank
we're
you,
good.
Steve. Right, appreciate man. It. That is Wake Forest head coach Steve Forbes, and the guy is so much fun to talk to. And, Willie, you were on the road. Obviously, you were in Toronto, and that was the day before everything was going to get canceled on the NHL front. Jason and I were outdoors at Kroger. It was cold in Franklin right there on Highway 96, but it was a show I'll never forget. And he came on that day, and he was awesome. I mean, we had a great conversation.
He's awesome every time he comes on. Let's just
no, I know.
He
is. Wasn't that in the first hour?
Yeah.
Oh, he was riled up. It felt, honestly, if you haven't been to that Coaches versus Cancer night in Nashville, you know, whether it was at the City Winery, I mean, it's been different spots. I mean, and this year it was at the Music City Center. I mean, he just takes over up on Sean Farnham has been the MC, and I mean, he is full of personality. I mean, he will have you in stitches when he gets going. And that day, it felt like a night with Coaches versus Cancer. I mean, he was just in a good mood. Obviously, he knew that they were going to the NCAA tournament, and he was just telling one story after another. And we had a good old time, but we do appreciate him coming on, and I have no doubts that he will be successful at Wake Forest, which, as you brought up, I think it was you, Willie, that said, hey, you know, this is a program that has shown. I mean, they can have success, even in the ACC. It's a tough conference, a tough, tough basketball conference. But they've had some players roll through there, and they've had some success. So I expect they'll do the same on his watch. We will come back and kick off the fourth and final hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.